Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Good to have you here. It's a beautiful day today over the lunch hour now at Ag in Motion Thursday, which is day three of this great show. So if you are on your way down, you've got the afternoon still to mingle and walk around and check out everything that this show has in store. Well, today is going to be a busy day on the highways as well. A lot of people making their way to Regina for the Saskatchewan Rough Rider game tonight. Edmonton Elks in town. Tonight is an important and interesting game, even if you take the football side of it out, of course, with the deaths of Jaden Dahlke and Bhishma Rajaguru. Many people will be headed to this game with an intention to watch what happens prior to the game. There has been, of course, talk about some sort of a tribute that is being done at the start of this game as a result of that collision that occurred on Saturday night. But this has been a big part of the conversation that you and I have had. And you think about how the information came out on this. I mean, what we heard first and foremost was that Jaden Dahlke had died in a vehicle accident. That was all of the first information that had been heard, which, of course, people were devastated to hear the news that one of the current Saskatchewan Rough Riders, a rider who is both prominent on the field and off the field, he's a leader, he was team captain, died in a car accident. Well, then what happened is we started learning more details. We got some information from the RCMP that said this indeed was the collision where two people died, and the details of the collision started to come out, where the RCMP told us that it was Jaden Dahlke's vehicle that was going the wrong way on the highway. So that's what caused the collision. We know some other facts, like there was alcohol and cannabis found inside of his vehicle. That causes a lot of people to draw some conclusions from that, whether or not he was impaired at the time. Of course, we don't have that evidence. We're waiting for the toxicology report on that. There was the news that he had alleged had done a gas drive-off in Lumsden about half an hour before this accident happened. And then, of course, this then speaks to, you know, he's got some status in the community, in the province. He is a Saskatchewan Rough Rider. There is an expectation that, you know, these types of people who are role models in our community will act a certain way. And again, it becomes very challenging because people will jump to conclusions without knowing. At this point, we don't have a factual conclusion of what it was that led to that accident, other than the driving action of him going the wrong way on the highway. So if you look at how this has been for the Saskatchewan Rough Rider Football Club, of course, they have been, I would suggest, in crisis communication mode since the details of this accident have been released. What started off as them simply showing an outward expression of sorrow and condolences to the family, Jaden Dahlke's family, to, you know, the community, to Rider fans, has turned into them trying to balance this with not knowing the full details as to what happened. There was an innocent person killed in this collision and what that is going to look like. So crisis communication is at the center of this. And I personally think the Saskatchewan Rough Riders have followed the steps quite well. I think they've done a very good job. There are people that this is their job, crisis communication, understanding the difficult balancing act that organizations face when emotions are high. Facts are still emerging, but maybe not complete, and there's intense public interest in what's being talked about. How do communication teams decide when to speak? What's that balance of being transparent, making sure that they're sharing accurate information? What happens when there's an information vacuum? We've seen that because speculation starts to evolve, certainly in this day of social media. That's where my next guest comes in. Kerry Hindman is the owner of Your Voice Consulting. He specializes in crisis communications, and I'm happy to say we've connected with Kerry today by phone. Kerry, thanks so much for taking our call.
Yeah, hi, Evan. Great to talk to you today.
When something tragic happens, what's the very first conversation happening inside of an organization's communication team?
Yeah. So first off, none of this is easy, right? Just as you said in the intro there, people are trying to respond on the worst day at their organization. And people will be upset. They'll be emotional. Some will be defensive, right? They might want to cover it up. They might hope that it's just going to go away. And sometimes a crisis is a sudden event like this, and sometimes it unfolds over time, right, getting worse and worse until you realize, okay, this is a big deal. So you'll have lots of people around the table, executives, communications, HR, you know, if it's an operational thing, legal, and they're all going to want to protect themselves and protect the company. That's really natural. But what I often see is that it takes really strong leadership to face a crisis and to walk through it with some compassion for everyone involved and taking some responsibility as well.
It feels to me, Carrie, like it would be tough in this day and age because there is this expectation of speed. We want the information and we want it now because we normally have it at our fingertips. So how do you help organizations balance speed with accuracy?
Sure. Yeah. And honestly, you'll never be fast enough. In today's world, there's always going to be somebody asking questions before you're ready. But you just have to be confident in the facts that you're going to share. So be a reporter within your own organization. Figure out what you know you can say. Own up to the fact that you don't know everything. And it's okay to say, you know, I don't know and I'm going to have to find out. But just really get down to the nub of it. So the who, what, when, where that you know you're going to get as questions and start simple. So we're aware that this happened. This is what we know. Maybe these authorities are involved, and this is how we're responding right now.
You know, it's interesting. I should say Carrie Heineman is our guest, owner of Your Voice Consulting, and I should say Carrie is not involved in the communication that the riders are doing here. We just felt like this would be a really good opportunity to talk to someone well-versed in crisis communication because guaranteed the Saskatchewan Rough Rider organization are dealing with this following a lot of these principles that you're talking about. Is there a right and wrong in terms of a balance, Carrie, of when an organization should reveal information or whether or not you should, you know, kind of let the media reveal it for you?
Yeah, that's a tough one. You don't want somebody else to be revealing it for you. Just in case, you know, it's not the way you would say it or it's incorrect. You want to go out as soon as you've got some clear facts to show that you are aware, you're taking charge, you are taking ownership of your responsibility in the incident. So it might not all be you. You might not even have any responsibility in this. But if people are looking to you for a comment and there's no one else that's going to fill that void, which is the case this time around, you know, it will really hurt your reputation if you don't have something to say. And I would say, you know, if you go too far with that and you're overstepping your role in the incident or you're saying something you need to retract later on, that's the balance, right? You don't want to go out there not understanding the full context and underestimating the scope of it. But you also don't want people speculating. So it's a tough one, Evan, and it takes balance. And every event, every crisis is different and needs to be looked at in its own merit.
You know, I've talked to so many people this week about this incident, this collision. Of course, the attachment of Jaden Dahlke to the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, and there's a lot of emotion involved in this. Mm-hmm. There's literally the range of emotions. Can you talk about emotion and considerations that need to be taken as factors through crisis communication?
Yeah, and you know that's a big reason why we say most companies need to practice this stuff. They have a risk register. They know what types of things might happen in their company, in their work. And so practice those top five, maybe. Make sure you're practicing what would happen in the event of a fatality because you are going to be upset. You might know this person. The people around you are also going to be in a heightened state. And everyone reacts differently and you're not at your best. So it's good to sort of, nobody likes to think about this stuff, but to think about it and to go through it as a practice.
Mm. Can you talk about the importance of transparency and perspective when you're speaking to the public? I think about, I mean, my former job, I was a chief of police with the mm-hmm. Regina Police Service. I mean, I feel like we did various forms of crisis communication, sometimes on behalf of the community. Sometimes it was on behalf of our organization, depending on what was going on. But transparency is key, but also speaking in plain language. Can you talk about the mm-hmm. importance of that?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that practice does help as well. So being very specific with your words, you know, saying that someone is deceased, being very clear what each thing means, you know, this many injured, this is the size of the impact. If there's a public risk, you know, sometimes people will listen to a story and then they think, can this affect me? So there's a lot of questions there that people will have. And if you are able to think through it beforehand with a clear head, that really helps. And then once you're up there talking, to be as clear and calm, speak slowly. You know, I'm sure at the event tonight that they will be making it very clear, and not leaving it for the end, right? Everyone's anticipating this, so doing it right off the bat. And those spokespersons, it's okay to show regret, to say your story. Typically, that becomes a story when you won't say it. And it's okay to regret that something awful has happened. It's okay to say that you're sorry that this happened, and to show your support for the injured or their families and coworkers. That sometimes becomes a big deal for people, but they want to know that you're a human being too.
Mm-hmm. Carrie Heineman is my guest, owner of Your Voice Consulting, does a lot of work helping organizations with all forms of communication, but certainly crisis communication is one of them. If you look at organizations that handle crisis well, what do you think they have in common, Carrie?
I think, you know, typically they know what their role is in the crisis. They know how to clearly communicate to people, including their employees, their partners, everybody, you know, not just the media, but understanding that there's other people involved in this. They take that responsibility and then follow through, right? So what's your response? What are you doing to help right now? And are you going to do something differently in the future? Because if we keep hearing the same thing out of your company, of course, that's going to hurt your reputation too. And then don't get defensive, or make it about yourself, right? This is a tragic event, and at the same time, it is an opportunity to improve and to show that you can do better.
For people listening, just as we wrap up here, Carrie, how important is thinking about this sort of communication prior to a crisis happening, like being prepared for it, essentially?
Yeah, I think it makes all the difference. You know, when you're in a heightened state, that's no time to think, you know, okay, what should I say? You can easily prepare for the top things that you think that you might come up against. Bad things happen, right? People make mistakes. So think through what those mistakes might be and how you will respond. And it's a really good chance to sort of hear around that table, right, of people who are leaders in the organization and hear their perspectives and talk about it when everybody's calm.
If you could use the help of Carrie Heineman, you can find her online at yourvoiceconsulting.com. Carrie, this has been a great chat. I appreciate your check-in today.
You bet. Thanks, Evan.